many nights do I have to wait when the sun sets too early and it rises too late? Well, it's a long, cold, dark, old night to be without you. How many nights do I have to cry? 'Cause I didn't get my fill at your happy face and kiss you goodbye. Well, it's a long, cold, dark old night to be without you. And I follow the leaves as they blow all around. I follow the tin can as it rolls on the ground.
Welcome to Vamp Radio. Jesse, you with me?
I'm here, yes, hello.
Oh my goodness, hi. I just did a whole intro and I was on mute apparently.
Right, yes, I didn't hear anything.
Oh, wonderful. Well, welcome to Band Night. It is Wednesday, February 25th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Today's hosts are Jessica, that's me, Jess, and Amy. Hi, Amy, how are you doing?
Hi.
Sorry for that screw up. I thought I was talking on air, and apparently I was talking to myself. So we are very excited to have Jesse from Flipper On. That's the band that you just heard playing in the intro. Hi, Jesse.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's late at night over here. It's a sociable time for you, but in Glastonbury, it's the wee small hours at the moment, but it's nice and quiet here. Yeah,
yes.
I'm very well.
It is 2 o'clock in the morning, and Jesse has been gracious enough to call us. And everybody in the chat room is saying hi, Jesse.
Oh, hello.
Yes, there's a couple of people in here already. They've listened to your MySpace and listened to the music on there, and one of the people on here, Patch, is saying that you guys seem to have a good time with your music. So I guess that's a great compliment, because it must be very fun to work together.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it's most definitely fun. I mean, it's what we do because we love doing it. Definitely, yes, it's a hugely enjoyable process. All of it. There's a lot of work involved, as there is in doing anything if you're trying to achieve something good. But yeah, it's all. I wouldn't do anything else.
Yeah, well, it definitely comes through in your music.
Okay.
Yes, and I think that's one of the things that drew us to it to begin with, is just that just having fun, you know, and that definitely comes across.
Okay.
And I know, I just want to let everybody know that, again, it is 2 o'clock in the morning for Jesse, so he will not be staying with us for the entire hour. So we're going to open up the phone lines, and in the meanwhile, we're going to ask some questions for him, because he needs to get off to bed. Sleepy bye. So the phone number to call in is 718-508-9440 if you have a question from Jesse from Flipron. In the meantime, let's talk about your new album. Well, it's not new, but it's fairly new, the newest album.
Yeah, it's current. It is the current album. Yeah, it came out in November. Yeah, that's right, Gravity Calling. Yeah.
Right. And that album is called Gravity Calling, correct?
Yes, yes.
Yes. And the song that just played is off of that album, yes?
No.
No?
No, that's off our first album, which is called Fancy Blues and Rustique Novelties from 2004.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
No, that's right, no problem. No, there's three albums. There's the new one, Gravity Calling, the current one, which came out in November 2008. Then there's Biscuits for Cerberus, which was 2006. And before that, Fancy Blues and Rustique Novelties, which is 2004.
Right. So, well, we have a couple of songs that we're going to play today for from the different albums. We have two that we're going to play from Gravity Calling, and we have, I think, one from the other two albums.
Yes.
So we'll get that going pretty soon. but let me ask some questions. Actually, let me give a little bit of background here. Gravity Calling has been called, this is the best... actually, you've been called one of the best word craftsmen by one of the magazines out there. I'm trying to find the exact quote here.
Oh, it might be...
Wordsmith. The best wordsmith in the UK by Mick Mercer.
Oh, that's Mick Mercer, who's he's a UK music journalist who he's written a lot about goth music, actually. Darker music in general, but he's fantastic. I mean, we're very lucky. He's just made Gravity Calling Album of the Year, so we're particularly delighted with him at the moment. But no, it's great to have his support, and it's very flattering to have something like that written about us. Definitely, yeah,
yes.
Marvelous.
And it is a very interesting album. Actually, all the music that Flip Ron created so far has been very entertaining. So Amy and I have enjoyed listening to the album. And you're from the UK, but are the other musicians from the UK as well?
Yes, we're all from the UK. I mean, we're different parts of it. We've all sort of all ended up in Glastonbury,
right?
Where near where the music festival. Is I don't know if you know about Glastonbury Music Festival over in the States, but it's sort of pretty big over here. And, and Glastonbury is a sort of ancient town with a sort of famous for its ancient abbey, this sort of ruined abbey that's been there for sort of 1500 maybe more years. It's a crazy old place. It's full of interesting people as well. Definitely, it's an interesting place. Yeah, characters. Yeah, it draws musicians and people like that towards it. It's a fun place to live, definitely.
Yeah, we're trying to get over to London in June, Amy and I, and the radio station for a convention, but part of it so we're trying to get over there, and I've only stopped over very quickly on the way to Ireland, but I'm really looking forward to getting to London.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's great. Yeah. I love it.
So I hear.
Yeah.
But, I'm really looking forward to that, and hopefully we'll be able to get that all together. And let me just reiterate for people, Jesse from Flip Ron is on the air with us. It is the wee hours of the morning for him, so he will not be able to stay with us for the whole 60 minutes. Therefore, if you would like to call in and ask him a question... regarding his music, his influences, anything, give us a call at 718-508-9440. And I'm going to read you some questions that some people have already sent in to us.
Okay,
so one person says, being from the UK, did any band or musician from the UK have any influence on your music?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
I mean, besides the obvious, Beatles, but...
I mean, between us, as members of a band, we listen to a huge range of stuff. I mean, loads of different stuff. But I mean, particularly, I mean, a massive influence for me was Ray Davies from the Kinks as a songwriter. So there's definitely that kind of, English psychedelia as well. Like Syd Barrett, people like that. That's, that is just, that's. that's food to me, you know. I can't live without that. But also, you know, sort of classic English punk, you know, the Damned, etc. That's, for me, growing up, they were one of the big important bands for me, which is actually another reason why we're delighted about Gravity Calling, is that we got Rat Scabies to produce it for us, which is, as far as I'm concerned, a superb thing to happen, because we've known him for a little while, but sort of growing up listening to Damned records and then being able to work with Rat is just a fantastic thing. Yeah.
Very cool. Somebody else writes in, they say, your lyrics are very intricate and specific. What inspires the lyrical side of your music?
Thinking. Long hours of thinking is what inspires it. Chewing on things and, lifting up the stones of my life and seeing what lies beneath them, I suppose, is what inspires it. But, I mean, in terms of its execution, I think, you know, it's reading. I mean, lyrics to pop music in general, to rock music, I'm pretty poor. I find they're not to my liking. There's a few superb lyricists, but in general, I think there's an awful lot of great music and an awful lot of rubbish lyrics out there that go with the great music. But I read a lot of poetry, really, I suppose. It's an awful lot of it comes from that, because there's, you know, the devices that a poet employs are so much more sort of numerous and varied than you'll find in the general sort of pop lyrics. So you can achieve a much sort of more complex communication that way, I suppose. And you can make it more interesting. You can sort of, you know, counter darkness with humour much more effectively, whilst possibly suggesting something else. It's, you know, you can layer stuff up, you can layer your meanings if you really sort of work at it. And it's just reading is where it comes from, I suppose. I do like to sit quietly in the dark. Well, not completely in the dark, because you couldn't read in the dark, but in a dim room reading through the night. That is what appeals to me, definitely.
Very good. Now, we have somebody in the chat room. Her name is Duckling Ski. This person says, I've been checking your music all over Phoenix Radio, and apparently you're very popular there. So it sounds like people have been pushing your music over here. And
I think I know why that is, actually.
Yeah.
That's to do with Rat Scabies as well, because I know that when he's done interviews on Phoenix Radio, he's been in Phoenix, he's played some Flipron tracks over the past few years, and I think that it's sort of come from that, really, because I know is Phoenix in Arizona, is that right? Excuse my ignorance, but that's where it is, I think. Is that right?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. But and I know that he's done quite a lot of work there. I mean, he's sort of been producing and working there with various bands and things, so I know he's there quite regularly, but so it probably comes from Rat seeding things by playing things on local radio there. Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently you're very popular there, and they've been hearing you.
Johnny,
yes. It's in Wales. Phoenix Radio is in Wales.
In where?
In Wales.
Oh, Wales. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Not Phoenix in Arizona. Weirdly, though, that is very strange, because, like we said, of all the places in the States that we've been played, it's mostly in Phoenix. So a bizarre coincidence there. But Phoenix Radio in Wales? Oh, I don't know
that
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Duckwinski, is saying Roxanne Royer and Pete Raven. So they've been pushing your music over there on Phoenix Radio. And that is, again, located in Wales.
Okay.
So I apologize for the miscommunication.
No, that's right. That's quite all right. Yeah.
Yes. So let me ask another question here while we got this up and running here. Somebody else writes in, what do you feel you enjoy most, writing and recording your music or performing it in front of your fans?
I think, well, I mean, both, really. When we're performing, I love doing it. I really, really love performing. It's fun because you also learn a lot more about the material that you've written and produced when you perform it live. You discover when you have an audience to play it to that it has a life of its own when it encounters an audience, and you get something totally different from it. So it's, you know, that's really enjoyable, and so that part of it I really enjoy. And it's, you know, it's fun meeting people, and it's fun seeing what happens. But also that, you know, the creative side is making it happen, you know, seeding a song, finding that little seed of an idea and letting it grow into something is fantastic for me. That's pleasure and satisfaction for me, definitely. So probably I would say, yeah, it's the writing most of all. If I had to choose between one or another, I could do that. I would rather spend the rest of my life writing new material than spend the rest of my life playing old material. But I'd like to keep playing, yeah.
Very cool. And as a follow-up question to that, another person asked if you had any interesting stories from your performances that surprised you, like in front of your fans, like their reactions maybe?
It always just surprises me when people enjoy it or get something from it. Because, I mean, we have had people sort of come up in tears at the end of, you know, a gig because of a certain song, or, you know, it seems that there's a few songs that have done that to people, and that always is quite shocking for me, but also incredibly gratifying that you'll have, you know, that you're part of some music which has affected someone in that way. So that is fantastic. But I mean, you know, in terms of sort of exciting stories of eccentric locations, I think just playing at festivals is an adventure every time, because, you know, when you're playing at 4 o'clock in the morning and people are caked in mud in front of you and they look like zombies, it's a strange experience. And so, you know, you might come on after someone who's dangling from a rope which is hooked through their back or something like that, and they're hanging by their skin or something. You know, it's a strange situation being at a festival in the middle of the night, or even at the daytime, really, just seeing the fact that it's, you know, middle of the afternoon and people are doing what they're doing. It's midnight revelries in the daytime, and it's strange to see it with the light of day illuminating it.
Right. Well, you had mentioned people looking like zombies. On that note, I want to play another song. And I believe this one is off of the new album, Zombie Blues.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yes, yes. And it's actually one of my favorites. I just like it. It's just so funky.
Good.
And so this is Zombie Blues from Gravity Calling.
I only wanted to sing, and I can't even talk, but I'm awake. I can moan and I can just about walk, though my toes are falling out of my rotten old funeral shoes. And the moon makes a dawn for the remnants like me, for the hands that hang like guilty men, for the sightless eyes that see, for the mummified memories of love that dead hearts cannot bear to lose, for the zombies who must sing the blues. As we stagger through the nighttime and the moon climbs higher, I hear the moans of a new nation, of a great zombie choir. And you've made it very clear that we're not welcome in your town. Oh, but we're going to stick around, irresistibly guided by your unmistakable incandescent beacon of sound. We're chasing the zombie blues. going to have to choose. And such a swagger, but when things don't go your way, you start the zombie moan and stagger. And there's a rotten smell about the way you mummify your feelings and your views. And the faces of the dead that are pressed against your gate are like those voiceless longings with which you push against your fate. And you're going to have to face them and lose those things you cannot bear to lose. Or else you've got to sing the zombie blues.
We have a question from Adam.
From Adam, yes.
And he wants to know, how was it to film music videos to your songs?
Say that again, how was it?
How is it to film music videos to your songs?
Oh, it's great fun. It's kind of a sort of difficult thing because if you sort of try to have a strong idea lyrically in a song, and then to sort of translate it into a visual medium when you've already tried lyrically to conjure up images in people's minds, that then you sort of counter it with something else. So rather than just go for, trying to follow the story of the lyric, it's usually better to do something else, either a performance video or another interpretation, a different story, but somehow that sort of goes along with the mood of the music. I mean, we've had a couple of sort of cartoon videos, and we've just finished making one for Gravity Calling, the song as well, which is a performance-based video. But it's fun, it's challenging. I mean, it's different, and it's great to work with different people who've got different ideas. I mean, we've worked with various different people making this. We've done a few with Alex DeCampi from Lot 49 Films, and we've just been working with Karen Jenkins, who's superb as well, who's made this new video for us. So, yeah, it's good.
Very cool. And actually, somebody is asking in the chat it's an email that was sent to us before. Do you come up with the lyrics first and then the music, or does the music come first, or does it kind of go hand in hand?
It usually, the music comes first, because I wouldn't say that I usually sort of choose what I'm going to write about. You sort of you have a musical idea, and then you kind of just listen to the music and sort of, what does it sound like it's about, if you know what I mean? What kind of mood does this music present, and what patterns of words present themselves, and you sort of work from that, because usually I don't often know what a song is about until I've finished writing it. I just write the words, and then the idea of what it's about sort of comes halfway through. It's all about listening for me, writing, really, is you sort of listen to what the music is asking for and what the words need to be. I would say usually it's music first. Yes.
Well, somebody thank you for answering that. Somebody in the chat room is asking if you play an instrument, which is pretty funny because you play a lot of instruments, actually, correct?
Yeah. Well, one or two, yes.
One or two. Can you tell us what instruments you play?
Well, I mean, live, with the band, I sing and play the guitar, but I play lap steel, you know, like Hawaiian guitar as well, electric lap steel. I play a bit of dobro live sometimes as well, which is similar, but acoustic. Bit of mandolin, accordion, harmonica, usually, you know, those things live, but sometimes in the studio I'll play other bits and pieces. I mean, I can't play many of these things very well, but I can, you know, I know two songs on the accordion. I know how to play two songs, and they're both Flipron songs. And it's just, you know, as a musician, you sort of pick up another instrument and find something on it that works. I'm not accomplished on many of these things, but I can make a good enough noise that they will work with a band and lend a different sound and texture or atmosphere to a song. So that's how they come in.
Very cool. Amy is asking me to ask you, what was the favorite show you ever played?
Oh, there are loads. There are loads. It's always fun to play big festival stages, to play in front of lots of people. That's always a real pleasure. And, yeah, definitely, it's fun for things like that to happen when you do play to lots of people. Or when you're playing on just a really big stage, when you've just got great sound and everything's working. But, yeah, it's festivals. They're really good fun. But also, no, there are so many. I mean, I remember once we were doing a gig, strangely, in North Wales, in a little town called Llangollen, and they have an arts festival there. And we were playing a gig as part of this festival in the town hall. And in the audience, there were lots of people, sort of octogenarians and nonagenarians from the local retirement home who'd had this trip out to go and see some live music. And we were playing, you know, there was about sort of 25 of them there, of these very old people, and all our songs are about sort of old age and decrepitude and death, and but they loved it, and we did two sets, and they all wanted to sort of come and meet us between the sets. It was fantastic, and I shall never forget that gig for that reason, that to have, you know, sort of octogenarian groupies is a novel and extremely different and enjoyable experience, I must say. Yeah,
I like that term, octogenarian.
Octogenarian groupies, yes. but it would seem they exist, so yes.
Wow.
We have a question from the chat room. Pat wants to know, when did you start playing?
When? Well, I started playing guitar as a kid, but I was probably sort of writing songs before that, just sort of making songs up in my head and so forth. But I sort of started playing the like lap steel a bit later on, and I don't know, if I find an instrument and sort of pick it up and have a go on it, it starts from there. It to me, it's a sort of continuous new process of discovering things and making them work. So guitar for years since I was a kid, but everything else just as and when an instrument appears within my reach.
Yeah, and she has another question.
Yeah.
If you could perform anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Ooh. A place of great antiquity somewhere. I don't know. I mean, because, you know, you have like Pink Floyd and The Cure. They've both done gigs in, you know, like Pompeii, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, somewhere like that would be fantastic. You know, somewhere with a fantastic scenery that would cast the band in an air of great glamour and resonance of something profound and wonderful. Anything that would make us look good, I don't know. But yeah, somewhere ancient and fantastic. I haven't thought. I just think about the next gig. But yeah, maybe a ruined abbey or something like that would be quite fun. I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree with you, and I definitely think that that would go in line with Pink Floyd and yeah, what they've done, and I think that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to be touring anytime soon?
Well, we'll be touring in the UK in the probably sort of March, April, and then we are hoping to come to the to the US later in the year. There's lots going on at the moment, and we're mm-hmm. in the middle of sorting things out with lots of different people, different things that are happening, sort of little doors that are opening, and some modest size, larger doors that are opening for us at the moment. So there's lots going on. So we are hoping to get across to the US later in the year, or at the very least at the early spring next year. But and all over the place, wherever we can, really. We're keen to travel and meet new audiences.
Cool. Well, if you do wind up working that out and you do wind up coming to the United States, please, you know, drop us a line, let us know so we can get
definitely.
The word out. You know, because
yeah,
and if it's in the area, I'd like to stop by. You know, I'd like to see you guys play live because it must be a blast.
Oh, it is fun. We enjoy it. Yeah. No, but I mean, we are in the process of trying to arrange such things. It's just it's an expensive and time consuming business. So
yeah.
I mean, not that I do any of it. You know, just a musician. But
you have people
but,
for that.
Yeah. Yes. But yes. Management and so forth are involved in the complex logistics of moving people and instruments from one place to another.
All right. Well, I know it's getting late for you, and I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I do want to ask you, which has been kind of interesting me for a while, how did you guys come up with the name Flip-Rom? Does it mean anything to you? Or?
Yeah, it means something to us and nothing to anybody else, really. It's what it is, the name Flip-Rom. It comes from, have you heard of the Loch Ness Monster?
Yeah.
You know, in Scotland. And the Loch Ness Monster, as people picture it, is what they call it, a plesiosaur, which is a sort of water lizard flipper thing, like a sort of brontosaurus with flippers. And it's a friend of mine had a blue plastic plesiosaur that he bought from a museum in London that he called the Flip-Rom because of its flippers. I don't know why he called it the Flip-Rom. But he had this really strange dream about being on the end of a pier, and it's like kind of lashing at him with sort of tentacles and tails and flippers and stuff and trying to drag him onto the water. And he told me about this dream, and then a couple of days afterwards I had a similar dream about this Flip-Rom thing getting me. And then I told another friend about it and the strange coincidence, and then they had a dream about it. It is only three people. But I felt, this Flip-Rom, it's getting under people's skin. They can, you know, it's warming their way into the subconscious. So
Now if I have a dream about this Flip-Rom thing tonight, I'm gonna call you up.
it's my fault. Yes, or it's the Flip-Rom's fault. It's the but that's where it comes from. Yeah. So but it's a made up word, so it doesn't mean it or relate to anything in the world. It relates only to the imagination.
Yes, but that's true. I mean, the music does get under your skin. It does kind of become part of your being. So it's kind of fate.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think it is fate.
Yeah.
And somebody here is asking, you know, I hear your album Gravity Calling was named Album of the Year by the magazine The Mic.
Yeah.
What does that mean for you as a band? Does that put you on a higher level? Do you start getting more respect after that?
It doesn't probably. I don't really know, to be quite honest. I mean, it makes,
you would think.
Yeah, I mean, it's exceedingly gratifying to know that a journalist such as Mick Mercer, who's a journalist of sort of many years of experience and great credibility, that he really likes this record and is prepared to sort of to name it his record of the year. That's fantastic. It just makes me feel really happy that record means a lot to that person. You know, he's a person, you know, to anyone really, it makes a difference. But for someone to shout about it is great. And it helps. It means that people who might not have heard of the record or the band are more likely to do so. So, you know, it all helps. But it's not probably going to translate into, you know, 10,000 additional sales as a direct result of that, I suspect. I don't
right.
know. You know, it's hard to tell because that the magazine The Mic is a cult magazine that has a devoted following, but it doesn't, you know, it's not mainstream magazine at all. So I think
right.
it reaches a specific group of people. But then again, those people are, you know, fiercely loyal to the writing of the magazine. So, you know, it's great to reach an audience like that. You know, they're all music fans and know what they're talking about. So, it's good.
Exactly, yes. Well, we're big fans over here, too, so.
Oh, bless you.
Well, actually, there was one more thing
yeah.
that we wanted to ask you, Amy.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, we like to record our guests saying, "This is so-and-so, and you're listening to Vamp Radio." You think you can do that for us?
I think I can manage it. Yes, thank you. Yeah. You tell me when, and I'll do the chat.
Okay. What?
Count him down.
Count him down? Okay, we'll count down to three. One, two, three.
This is Jesse from Flipron, and you are listening to Vamp Radio.
Thank
How
you,
that?
Jesse. That was great. We're going to pull that off and clip it, and we'll play it in our promos. And what's next for Flipron? What are you guys up to? I mean, you did say you were touring. Are you starting on working on another album? What's going on with you guys?
Well, there's I've written about half of the next album,
mm-hmm.
and then it's just a case of continuing to promote this one for as long as we can, just to do the best with it we can. And then when that has sort of reached its natural sort of conclusion as an album, we're ready for the next one, we'll record the next one. Because I can write enough songs quite quickly to make an album, but I need to write many more than that in order to make a good record so that you can choose the best songs and choose the ones that really work together
mm-hmm.
to make a unified record. But so yeah, it's, you know, I'm looking forward to making another record, and that's it really. I'm just gonna keep going, keep making music. That's what we do.
Okay, we have a caller.
Yep.
Let me bring this person in. RJ?
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, very well, thank you. Yes.
That's good. I actually missed the beginning of the show. I apologize, late coming home from work. So this question may have been asked already, but I was wondering what part of Britain that you hail from?
We come from Somerset in the southwest, which
Lovely.
Is about, it's about sort of 110 miles from London. Southwest,
yeah.
But I mean, having said that, I mean, we've all lived in London for a while at various times and lived round and about the place, but mainly we're a southwest band, Somerset, and we live in Glastonbury, home
wow.
of the festival,
nice.
etc. Yes.
Yeah. And I know that a lot of bands, you know, when they start out, they really rely on a lot of local support. And was that something, was that the path you took? You started out with, you know, like as a local band? And
no, well, weirdly, no, because we've actually played in and around Glastonbury town and area very little. We've actually sort of played mostly in London. London is where sort of possibly sort of more based. I think we probably played in other places more than we played in Glastonbury, really, in the area. So we don't really sort of play at home very much, just from time to time, and at the festival, obviously, we usually, well, pretty well always, play at Glastonbury Festival somewhere or other on the site. But no, we haven't done it that way. We just it's all sort of slightly backwards and strange, but we just play everywhere, really, and just sort of being at home, this is the last thing that occurs to you is to go and play a gig. Gigs is something that you go somewhere to do rather than you walk out your door and do next door, you know. So yeah, does that make sense?
Kind of interesting, actually. Yeah, no, it does. I've got a friend who's in a band in Australia, and for them it was more a case of and maybe that has to do with the fact that the geography is so much more, you know, we're talking more miles. So
very much local
places first, build up a following, and then venture further.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably a practical and sensible way to do it, but we're not a particularly practical or sensible band. We it just ends up as it ends up, and I think that's probably the best way to do it, and I think your friends have exercised common sense in that way, definitely. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, but I guess we're talking slightly different geography.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Well, yes. We only travel a few hundred miles to get to the other end of the country,
right,
rather than
a bit
many
different
more than
from a 7-hour car ride to go from one city to the next.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that would be an impractical tour for us. Yeah, we like to travel in shorter bursts, if at all possible.
So, I did have one more question.
Yeah.
As far as the internet, have you found that that's been a really useful tool for you
in raising
awareness of your band?
I think the internet is brilliant for bands. I think actually for anyone, especially if you're in a band that isn't sort of totally geared in terms of what you're presenting to the mainstream market. If you're anything, you know, if you're a sort of marginal band, or if you're doing something that's at all sort of different, that means that the main market is not readily available for you to exploit, then the internet is brilliant because you can find people. I mean, because the fact that this is an internet-based radio station, and you know, I'm talking in Glastonbury to America to an Australian, is the wonder of it. I think it's a brilliant thing. It means that people can communicate and find each other, and I think it works for bands all over the world. I think it means that people can reach their audiences, and the audiences can find the music they want to find. I think it's a brilliant tool. Definitely, I think, you know, without it, it would be a slow and painful, well, a slower and more painful process for us than it already is. Yeah.
And a lot more expensive too.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Sending out flyers in the post, that would be very expensive. But but an email to a list is very quick. Yes. Yeah.
Very true. No, Jesse. Actually, on that same vein, can you tell people what your MySpace page is and your webpage
It's www.myspace.com/flipron, which is FLIPRON. The main website, which is probably, well, to be quite honest, is updated a lot less often than the MySpace page. It's just flipron.co.uk. You can get our albums, you can either download them from iTunes or Napster and places like that, or if you want physical copies, you can get them in the US from CD Baby, or otherwise, if you order them direct from Tiny Dog Records, which is tinydog.co.uk, which is the record label, then they'll send it out, I think, possibly without even postage charges, because they're a nice, dedicated team in a small label that work hard, and that's always a good place to buy it to, because it goes to the small label, and that's, they get all the cash. But so that's your best bet, yeah. And that's where you can get music from.
Yes, and so for those of you listening on the archives, because they can listen to it after the show, they can download this. And you can find our information on www.vampradioonline.com, where we do have, I think we do have links to the MySpace page. But if you have any questions or you didn't catch this, you can listen to it in the archives. And you can find that again on www.myspace.com/Flipron, FLIPRON.com. Not .com at the end of that, just Flipron at the end. Or you can go online to the main page, www.flipron.com. And again, you said that could be purchased on iTunes or through the website, correct?
Yeah. You can get iTunes or from our website or from the record label website, tinydog.co.uk. But yeah, if you go to our website, which is flipron.co.uk, it will take you. You can purchase there, and it all goes via the record label. So
great. And everybody should definitely check out the album. It is amazingly. It's diverse. It's got different feels to it. You're definitely gonna like the album. You guys definitely have a very dark, funny, humorous sense of humor.
I'm glad
you like it. Yeah, which we love it. And actually, after you go, we're gonna play a couple of songs from the other album, other albums, so we can get. I think we have the one that Alex DeCamp directed the video to, which was Book of Lies.
Yes,
and one of my favorite videos, and actually one of my favorite songs out of all three, which would be Dog Boy versus the Monster.
Which
I actually saw that video. I don't know how long it's been out, but I've seen it. I know I saw it before. And then when I was going through the music, I happened to go on YouTube, and I saw it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember seeing this like probably years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking back then, oh, I gotta follow this band, and I never saw it again. And then it was just kind of a freak coincidence that I've seen it already.
We found you again. Yes.
Yes, you found us. You came right around again. It's fate. It's the Flipron. So.
It is. It'll be there in your dreams, haunting you tonight as you sleep.
Yes. I'm definitely going to send your manager an email if I have a dream about the Flipper on tonight. So. Be like, damn it, Jesse! Well, dear, you've been wonderful by spending so much time with us, and I know it's probably about almost 3 o'clock in the morning there now, but thank you so much for being conscious and participating in our interview.
It's been fun. Yeah,
we had a great time, and you and the band in its entirety are welcome to come on anytime you have something to say, or if you just want to hang out with us, we're pretty cool.
That sounds great.
And please, if you're going to be touring in the U.S., or even if you're going to be touring in the U.K., if you have some dates and places that we can post on our blog, we would be happy to do that. You can get through to us on our email.
I was just going to say, actually, a friend of ours actually is coming over to the U.S. quite shortly. He's called Bobby Long, who I think, I don't know if you've interviewed him, but he wrote one of the songs that's on Twilight, the film.
I think we've been talking with Bobby Long and trying to get.
Right.
And I believe he will be on our show at some point. We're trying to nail down a time.
He's coming over in. I can't remember exactly when it is, but I know he's playing in New York, and he's playing in Los Angeles, but I don't know where else he's playing. But he's definitely going to be over your neck of the woods at some point. But he's a musical friend of ours, should we say. So he's definitely worth looking out for. Yeah.
Yes, and we have heard of him. We were trying to get him on. We're just working up a schedule.
Yeah.
So he's definitely on our list. But thank you so much, Jesse. And again, like I said, keep in touch with us. You can get to us through your manager. You can get to us on our email, or you can always reach us on the MySpace.
You're very kind. Fantastic. Brilliant.
Thank you, dear.
Okay.
Have a great night.
And you. All right. Cheerio. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, he was amazing.
He was so fun. RJ, you still there?
Oh, hold on a minute. I had RJ on mute.
Okay.
Okay, RJ, you're on back.
Is isn't his accent so cute? I love it.
It is. I actually have something. His manager actually emailed me something today to post on our website, so I will be posting that very shortly, and it is about Bobby Long.
Okay.
And actually, Bobby is going to be with Sam Bradley, too, and everybody knows that we had Sam Bradley on couple of weeks ago, and he was amazing too.
Another sweetheart.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So that was so fun. We're gonna play a couple of songs from Flip-Rum and let you get an idea of the different music that's being played over the different albums. And these are not all from the same album. But we did play one from one of the previous albums, and then the most recent one we played was The Zombie Blues, and that was from the most recent album, Gravity Calling.
Believe me, you want to go pick up all three albums.
Yeah. I mean, the manager was nice enough to send us all three albums, so we did get a chance to listen to all of them. And
grab the T-shirt, too, because the T-shirts are awesome.
Yeah. And the videos are awesome. You got to check it out. And there's a bunch of them too. If you go on YouTube, you can search Flip Ron, and there's a bunch of videos, music videos that they've done. I would definitely suggest you taking a look at the video for Dog Boy versus Monsters, which is very, very amusing, and the song is too. Actually, why don't we play that song real quick?
Okay. Well, let me find it. Got it.
Box of puppy to grown up dog, hungry mongrel, mission almost bungled. Texan intervention has saved the sergeant, skinning on the other side in this dirty town. The monsters swear to do the dog down, but dog's devoted. Dog adores you, howls, call you home at night. Hurry home. And Detective and Sergeant Brown found us sleeping. Watch out for our safekeeping. As our dreaming rises slowly to the stars in the summer sky and back down below through a telescope. The monsters see they have no hope. Our eyes are constellated with our feet still on the ground. Hurry on. Monsters in this town, wow, 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 wow.
Okay, guys, Amy has to run, so I'm going to play one more song to take us out. And again, you've been listening to Flip Ron. Please take a look at their MySpace page, friend them, and take a look at their regular webpage, www.flipron.com.uk. And thank you for listening with us. This is a great band, and they are so funky and so funny, and they have this dark sense of humor. You're going to love them. Just take a look, and this is Book of Lies. Good night, everyone.
Well, we don't want to hear told stories about